Kindalach, why did Hashem bring the Makkah of Arav, of the wild beasts, to the Mitzrayim? Well, after the Makkah of Kinim, when the Mitzrayim realized that the Yidden will no longer build cities for them, they made a new terrible plan against the Yidden. They ordered that the Yidden should catch wild animals for them in hope that the Yidden will be killed while they're catching these wild animals. Moshe cried out to Hashem, "How can they catch lions without being killed by them?" Hashem reassured him, "Don't be afraid. Go out to the fields. Turn to the beasts and say, 'So says Hashem, tomorrow you shall join together, and all of you should enter the land of Mitzrayim and destroy it. Since you were created, it was decided that this is what you're going to do.'" Another reason Kinalach why the Mitzrayim were given this Makkah of Arav was because they were punished Mida Keneged Mida. They used to force the Yidden to babysit their children. They used to force a Yid to carry 4 Egyptian children at the same time, 2 on his shoulders and 2 in his arms. When the Makkah of Arav began, and a Yid was walking to the market, panting and moaning under the weight of 4 Egyptian children, a lion came and grabbed one. A bear came and grabbed another one. A wolf came and carried away the 3rd, and a panther came and grabbed away the 4th. Later the Mitzri asked the Yid, "Where are my children?" "I don't know," answered the Yid. "When I went shopping carrying 4 children, a bear came and took one away, a lion grabbed one, a wolf grabbed one, and a panther took one. And I have not seen him since." But Kindalach Hashem did not let the beasts enter in the land of Goshen where the Yidden were. Pare called Moshe and Aaron and said, "You may go sacrifice to your God in this land, but I cannot let you go into the wilderness."
"We cannot do that," Moshe answered. "Our sacrifices, our karbanis, are the sheep, which the Egyptians worship as a getchka. They will surely not allow us to sacrifice their gods before their very eyes without stoning us. Let us travel for 3 days into the Midbar, and there we will sacrifice to Hashem, our God, as Hashem shall command us."
"Go," says Parai. "Go and sacrifice to your God, but don't go very far away. Pray to Hashem to have mercy on me and remove the wild beasts."
Moshe answered, "I will daven to Hashem for you, but don't trick us again. You better keep your promise." Moshe left Pari and daven to Hashem to bring an end to this Makkah. Moshe's tefillah was accepted by Hashem, and the wild beasts were removed. They did not die as the frogs had. Why? Hashem made that all of the wild beasts should run back into the forests, in order that the Mitzrayim should not be able to use their skins for leather, or their meat for food. Instead, all of these wild beasts disappeared without leaving a trace. But Kinalach, Pari again hardened his heart and did not allow the Yidden to leave. Hashem then told Moshe to warn Pari that if he does not let the Yidden out, a heavy pestilence, a dever, a dying out will come to Mitzrayim on the very next day. Hashem set the beginning of this Makkah for the next day, in order that the Mitzrayim should not be able to say that the dying was because of a regular sickness. Also, it was in order to give them a chance to do teshuva. But Kinalach Pari ignored the warning, and on the next day, a heavy pestilence struck the Egyptian animals, and they all died. Not only did the animals die, but the riders of the animals, the horse rider, or anyone who was riding on any of these animals, died together with their horses, The shepherds died together with their sheep. The donkey drivers died with their donkeys. The camel drivers with their camels. But Kindalach, all the Yiddish animals were saved. Even an animal that belonged to both a Yid and an Egyptian was also saved. If it ever happened that a Mitzri grabbed away an animal from a Yid and made believe that it was his, now everyone knew the truth. Since all the Egyptian animals died, they knew that all the live ones belonged to the Yidden, and he had to return it. Now, Kindalach, not only were the animals of the Yidden unharmed, but in fact, it was a time of well-being for the Yidden, during which they suffered no losses at all. Why did Hashem bring this Makkah to the Mitzrayim? Well, Kindalach, the Mitzrayim used to force the Yidden to become shepherds and donkey drivers in the desert, in the very, very far away places in the desert and mountains, in order not to let the Yidden to live together with their family. As a punishment, all of their animals died. Well, Kindalach, now we come to the sixth Makkah, Shechin, the boils. Now you know, Kindalach, the first three makis, Dum, the blood, Tzfardeya, the frogs, and Kinim, the lice, they all came from things down here on earth. They came from the water, and they came from the ground, and they were all brought about by Aharon. Then there were three makis that were brought about by Moshe. Those were Barad, Arbe, Chayshech, Hail, the locusts, grasshoppers, and darkness that we're going to learn about soon. And then there were three makis that were brought about by Hashem himself. They were Arav, the wild animals, Dever, the dying out of the animals, and Makas Bechairais, the dying of the firstborn. These three were brought about by Hashem himself. Now the Makah of Shechin Kindalach, of boils, were brought about by all three, by Hashem, Moshe, and Aharon. And this is how it happened. Hashem commanded Moshe and Aharon that each of them should take two handfuls of soot from a furnace, that is, like the black ashes from an oven. Aharon had to give his two handfuls of soot to Moshe. Then Moshe had to throw it all up into the sky. Hashem then turned all of the ashes into leprous boils, which landed over Mitzrayim, over all the Mitzrayim and their animals. Moshe and Aharon picked up the ashes in front of Paray, and Moshe threw it up towards the sky. Kindalach, three miracles happened. First of all, how high up can you throw ashes? Just a little bit. If you want to shoot an arrow, you can shoot it not further than 100 amos. That is, about 200 feet away. Now, Kindalach, to throw ashes so far is impossible. But Moshe, when he threw the ashes upwards, it went all the way up and it reached the Kisei HaKavod. A second miracle was that Moshe's one hand was able to hold 4 handfuls of ashes. Yes, Hashem said that Moshe and Aharon should fill up both of their hands with ashes, and then Moshe was supposed to take all of it together and throw it up. So that means Moshe's one hand was able to hold 4 handfuls of ashes. A third miracle was that this amount of ashes, which was enough just to cover a very small area, was able to spread out all over the entire land of Mitzrayim. This Makkah of Shechin was worse than any other sickness that the Mitzrayim had ever had. It looked like it was leprosy, rashes. But this was even worse than that. There were 24 kinds of leprosy. The blisters covering the bodies of the Mitzrayim were wet in the inside, under the skin,
and on the outside it was dry skin. It was impossible to relieve the pain. Any oils, ointments, or creams that they put on the outside of their skin to make them feel better, all it did was it made their skin hurt more. And it hurt that all the pus and the wetness that was inside got even worse. If they took any medicine to stop the pus from the inside, it only hurt the skin more and more. Pare's magicians were also stricken with this shchin so badly that they weren't even able to stand on their feet when Moshe and Aaron came into the palace. Yes, Kindalach, this was their punishment, because they were the ones who gave the idea to Pare to throw the baby boys into the Nilus in order to get rid of Moshe. And also because when Moshe was a little boy of 3 years old and took off the king's crown, who was the one who gave the idea to kill Moshe? It was these magicians. Therefore, they suffered more than everyone else. And do you know, Kindalach? Even after the Makkah was over, the magicians were not cured. They remained sick until they died. Now, Kindalach, the Makkah of Shechin was also a punishment, Mida keneged Mida, for one of the very bad things that the Mitzrim did to the Yidden. The Mitzrim used to force the Yidden to prepare their bath water by either heating it or cooling the water. Now, the Mitzrim themselves are suffering that they can't use the baths anymore. They can't take a bath because the boils hurt them so much that if hot or cold water touches their boils, it just made them feel worse. This was also a punishment for them not letting the Yidden rest even for one moment during the work, not even to scratch something that was itching him. If Yid felt a itch, the Mitzrim wouldn't even let him scratch himself. Now they were given to feel on their own bodies what it felt like to suffer from itching and not being able to treat it or to cure it. To the Mitzrim, this was worse than the Makkahs that they had before. Now they all cried out and said, "This is a horrible Makkah!" Pare then called Moshe and Aaron, begging them to stop the Makkah. But, Kindalach, once the boils disappeared, Pare did not keep his promises. Hashem hardened his heart to punish him for not wanting to do teshuvah during the first 5 Makkahs. This does not mean, Kindalach, that Pare cannot still do teshuvah, but now he will have to work extra hard to choose to obey Hashem and do teshuvah. And now comes the 7th Makkah, Barad, hailstones. Hashem commanded Moshe, "Get up very early to come before Pare's palace and warn him about the Makkah of Barad, of hail." Hashem knew that Pare on this morning was planning to hide himself from Moshe. For this reason, he told Moshe to come to the palace earlier than usual, even before Pare will go out to the Nilus. Hashem said to Moshe, "Tell Pare, so says Hashem, the God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. For this time I will send all my Makkahs upon you, so that you shall know that there is none like me on earth. I could easily have wiped you out during the Makkah of Dever, but I kept the Makkah only to the animals, keeping you alive to show you my power, so that my name should be proclaimed throughout the world." Hashem instructed Moshe to tell Pare, "Since you still do not let my people go, I shall cause a very heavy hail to fall at this time tomorrow, hail the like of which was never seen neither in the land of Mitzrayim or anywhere else in the world. Now gather in your cattle, your animals, and whatever you have in the fields, because whatever is not gathered in will be hit by the hail and die."
Moshe gave over the words of Hashem to Parai. Moshe made a mark on Parai's clock, which was a sundial, in order to show him the exact hour that the Makkah would begin on the next day. But Parai said,
"Why should we listen to this Ben Amram more than on all the other times?"
Parai left his animals in the field, and so did most of the Mitzrayim, except for some of the Mitzrayim who were afraid of Hashem, such as Parai's advisor, Iyov. Now, Kinelach, this Makkah began first as rain, because Hashem hoped that the Mitzrayim would still do teshuvah. But later, the rain changed into a storm. Thunder crashed, lightning struck, and the earth shook. The huge hailstones rained down from heaven. They were made up of blocks of ice and of fire. But Kindalach, the fire did not melt the ice, and the ice did not put out the fire. Yes, Kindalach, even though fire and water do not get along with each other, but when Hashem called them to make a war against the Mitzrayim, they immediately joined together. The loud crashing of the falling hailstones rocked the land. Whoever was in the fields, man or beast alike, was hit, frozen by the ice and burnt by the fire. The Mitzrayim were so frightened, they hurried to return their animals into the garages and the stables, but it was too late. The hailstones piled up in front of them, forming a solid wall of ice and fire, and they just could not open up the doors to get the animals in. Seeing that there was no chance of bringing their animals to the stables alive, the Mitzrayim shechted them. They slaughtered them, so at least that they should be able to enjoy their meat. What did they do with these animals? They placed the slaughtered animals on their shoulders. But Kindalach, big birds flew down from the sky and ate up all of the bodies of these dead animals. The hail broke down entire trees and destroyed whatever was growing in the fields. It went down to the deepest roots in the ground. All of the growing things was destroyed, except for the wheat and spelt, which Hashem wanted to save so that the arba, the grasshoppers, should be able to eat it up. Some of the Mitzrayim ran to the land of Goshen to escape from the hail, but Kinelach, the hailstones fell upon them there too without touching a yid. When Parai saw this, he was amazed to see how fire and water came together. Parai sent for Moshe and Aaron and admitted,
"I have sinned this time. Hashem is the right one, because he warned us first to gather in the people and the animals so that they should be saved, and I and my people are wicked. We did not listen to God, we did not listen to his warning, and we caused innocent blood to be spilled. Pray to God that this Makkah should end, and I will let you go."
Moshe answered him, "I will pray for you, but I cannot pray here in this city which is full of Getchkes. I will leave this city, and outside of the city I will daven." "I don't really believe your words, Parai, for I know that you don't really fear Hashem, and later you're going to change your mind. But still, I will pray that this Makkah should end, in order that you should recognize Hashem's greatness." Moshe left the city and spread out his hands in davening to Hashem. As soon as Moshe lifted his hands, before he even said one word of tefillah, the hail stopped. Even the hailstones that were on their way down to the ground did not continue falling, but remained hanging in the sky. The thunder also came to a sudden stop as soon as Moshe prepared to daven. Yes, as soon as Moshe prepared to daven, Hashem immediately did what Moshe was going to daven for.
Hashem always listens to the tefillos of tzaddikim immediately. This reminds us of the story of Chayni HaMa'agel. This happened many years later, when in Eretz Yisrael there was a hunger. 3 years straight, there was no rain, and the Yidden suffered bitterly. Even after all the tefillos that the Yidden prayed to Hashem, the rain did not come. So, a group of students of Chayni HaMa'agel came to him, and they asked him, "Pray for rain." Chayni HaMa'agel answered them, "Get ready for the rain. Take in all the ovens that are in the yards, so that they don't get ruined by the rains that are going to come." Chayni prayed, but no rain came. What did Chayni do? He drew a circle on the ground, and he stood in the middle. As he was standing in the middle of the circle, Chayni davened to Hashem, and he said, "Ribbono shel Olam, the Yidden have turned to me because they know that the tefillos that I will daven will be accepted. Hashem, please listen to the tefillah that I'm davening for rain." And then Chayni swore by Hashem's great name that he will not move away from the circle until Hashem has mercy upon the Yidden and gives them rain. Just then, rain began to drip down little by little. The Talmidim came back to Chayni and they said, "Rebbe, the rain is not coming down enough. There are only a few drops of rain. That's it. That's not enough. Please, do not let us die in the hunger." Chayni davened to Hashem. Chayni said, "This is not what I asked for. I want enough rain to fill all the wells." Suddenly a big flood started to pour down. It was raining with such big droplets of rain that each drop was as big as a barrel. The students came running to Chayni, and they said, "Rebbe, this rain will destroy the world. Do not let us to die." Chayni said to Hashem, "This is not what I asked for. I want a rain of goodness, a good rain which is a blessing for the whole world." Just then, the big storm slowed down, and a nice, beautiful, good rain began to fall. Yes, Kindalach, this is all from the tefillah of the great tzaddik Chayni. And the same thing is with all tzaddikim. As soon as they daven to Hashem, Hashem answers their tefillah. Tzaddik goizer v'hakadosh baruch hu mekayem. Whenever a tzaddik makes a decree, Hashem fulfills it. And this is what happened by Moshe. As soon as he spread out his hands in tefillah to Hashem, that Hashem should stop the barad, as soon as he prepared himself for tefillah, Hashem immediately brought the barad to a stop. And do you know, Kindalach, that even the hailstones that were on the way down from the sky also stopped in the middle of the air. Yes, on their way down to the ground, they stopped. And they remained hanging in the air for the next 41 years. This was in the times of Yehoshua. That's when they came down. Now, why did they come down then? Well, Kindalach, this is what happened. Yehoshua heard that five kings of Amidi got together to make a war against the Yidden. Hashem then promised to Yahushua and said, "Don't be afraid of them, Aydin. I have given them over into your hands." Yahushua then attacked the enemies. They didn't even know that Yahushua was going to attack them, so they were caught by surprise. Hashem then made them all confused. They didn't know what's happening to them, and the Yidden began chasing them. As the enemies were running, they came right near the place called Beis Haran. Just then they see big hailstones coming down from the Shemayim, tumbling down on top of them. Yes, these are the hailstones from the Barad of 41 years before in Mitzrayim. That's when it came down to destroy and get rid of the enemies. And you know, not only did the hailstones stop when Moshe got ready to daven, but also the thunder, the loud thunders that came along with the Barad, also stopped immediately. So what happened to the unfinished crash of the thunder? Well, that came down later. Many, many years later, it came down to save the Yidden from a big hunger. Then the story goes like this. In the days of Yehoram, the son of Achav, who was a big, big Russia, there was a big hunger in Eretz Yisrael. There was very, very little food left in Eretz Yisrael, because the king of Aram circled around with his soldiers and did not let any of the Yidden go in or out to be able to get more food. It was already 6 years of the hunger, and the hunger was getting worse and worse that the Yidden could not bear it anymore. The king Yehoram sent a messenger to Elisha, because Yehoram thought that Elisha is to be blamed for the hunger, and he wanted to kill Elisha the great tzaddik. Elisha knew that he wants to kill him, and so Elisha protected and guarded himself. Elisha then said a nevuah, prophecy from Hashem, that tomorrow at this time there is going to be so much food, there is going to be so much wheat and barley in Eretz Yisrael, that it will be even sold for very cheap. A whole measure of flour will cost only 1 shekel, and 2 measures of barley would cost only 1 shekel. When the messenger heard this, he couldn't believe his ears. What? There is no food, there is no barley, there is no wheat. What is Elisha the Navi saying? Ha ha ha, he doesn't know what he's saying. The messenger began laughing, and Elisha cursed him. Yes, Kindalach, he did not believe the words of the tzaddik, the Navi Elisha. Whenever a tzaddik says something, Hashem fulfills his words. And if Elisha said that by tomorrow there is going to be so much food in Eretz Yisrael, it would surely be so. And this is how it happened. At this time, while everyone in Eretz Yisrael was suffering from the hunger, there were 4 Yidden who were sitting outside of the gates of the city, because they were Mitzayra'im. They had a leprosy on their skin, and they were not allowed to be in the city until the leprosy goes away. Now these 4 Yidden decided, "Let's go to the camp of Aram. If they'll let us live, good. If they'll kill us, too bad, then they'll kill us. Why should we just wait here to die?" And so Kindalach, they began going towards the camp of Aram, taking a chance and going to see what's going to happen. But a big surprise. they were shocked. When they came to the camp of Aram, they look around. No people. No soldiers. They see all the tents, the doors open, everything left as if everyone ran away. What happened to all the people? Where are all the people of Aram? Where are all the soldiers? Yes, Kinalach, they all ran away quickly. Why did they suddenly run? Well, you know what happened? Hashem made a miracle. Hashem scared them by making a thunderous loud noise, which sounded to them like chariots and horses running and chasing after them. It was really that leftover sound of the thunder. Yes, the crash of the thunder, which was left over from the time of Barad in Mitzrayim. It was now that Hashem let that thunder finish. And when the people of Aram heard this, they thought that, hey, we are going to be attacked. It sounded like the sounds of thousands of horses and chariots chasing after them. And all these soldiers who were surrounding the city, not letting the Yidden out, they got so frightened that all the soldiers just ran away, leaving behind all of their gold and silver and food and everything that they had. Well, you can imagine what happened now that all of the people of Aram were gone. Yes, all the food, the gold and silver, was now free for the taking for all the Yidden in Eretz Yisrael. All the Yidden came out, and they were so happy for this great miracle that Hashem did for them. They were able to collect as much as food as they wanted, as much as they needed. Yes, just like the words of Elisha the Navi, who said that on the next day there is going to be so much food in Eretz Yisrael. That is exactly what happened. Yes, Kindelach, we learn a lesson from this story. How true are the words of a tzaddik? Whenever a tzaddik says anything, it will surely come true. Even when sometimes we look at things and we don't understand how can it ever happen? How can this tzaddik's words come true? Just like it was then. When the Yidden saw there was no food in Eretz Yisrael at all, how is there suddenly going to be plenty of food the next day? Yet, because a tzaddik said so, and that's exactly how it happened. And the same thing, Kindelach, whenever we hear the words of tzaddikim, we should realize that they will surely be fulfilled 100%, exactly as they said. This is what's called Emunas Tzadikim, belief and faith in the words of the Tzadikim. And that's why it's so important for a Yid to always have Emunas Tzadikim, to trust and be sure that the words of the Tzadik will surely come true. As it says in Parshas Beshalach, as we're going to learn later in Yirtzeh Hashem, Vaya'aminu b'Hashem uv'Moshe avdai. That when the Yidden saw the great miracles by the splitting of the Yam Suf, the splitting of the Red Sea, they believed in Hashem and in Moshe, Hashem's servant. And our Chachamim teach us that they go hand in hand. That is, that believing in Hashem goes together with the believing in Moshe. Believing that Moshe was sent by Hashem and is a Navi, a prophet, who teaches us the words of Hashem. And the same thing, Kindelach, our Chachamim teach us, in every generation, there is a Moshe, a leader of the generation, who teaches and shows the Yidden the way to serve Hashem, to improve their ways, and to become better and better from day to day. And that is why the tefillos, the prayers of tzaddikim, are answered immediately, because they are so great They have such a great kedusha, they are so holy, that their tefillos are accepted even faster and quicker than anyone else's. True, we ourselves also pray to Hashem. We are supposed to pray to Hashem whenever we need anything, and Hashem surely will listen to our prayers. But it's so much more so when a tzaddik does it for us, as our chachamim teach us, that when someone is not well, they should go to the chacham, to the tzaddik of his city, and ask him to pray to Hashem. And the same thing goes for everything that a yid needs. We daven to Hashem, but we also ask a tzaddik, just like it was in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, whenever the Yidden needed anything, they came to Moshe, and Moshe davened to Hashem. And Hashem answers the prayers at all times, just as it was, as we have just learned now at the end of Parshas Va'era. Moshe Rabbeinu, even before he began to daven, even before he began to pray to Hashem, Hashem immediately stopped the barad, the hailstones and the thunders, just as Moshe wanted. As our chachamim say, tzadik gozer v'hakadosh baruch hu mekayem. A tzadik can make a decree and Hashem fulfills it. Now, Kinelach, once the makkah of barad was over, do you think Pare listened? No, of course not. Once again, Pari's heart was hardened, and he did not let the Yidden leave Mitzrayim, just as Hashem said to Moshe. Well, Kinelach, now Pari got already 7 makis. He still did not learn his lesson. Next is going to be the 8th makkah that we're going to learn about in Parshas Bayimir to Hashem. That will also not be enough. He'll get a 9th one, and finally the 10th makkah of Makkas Bechairais, when he'll finally allow the Yidden to go out of Mitzrayim. And not only will he allow them, but, as we're soon going to see, he helped the Yidden go out of Mitzrayim. Yes, Hashem promised that when the Yidden will leave Mitzrayim, the Mitzrayim are going to help the Yidden out, are even going to give gifts to the Yidden as they leave Mitzrayim. And do you know? It says that when Mashiach is going to come, it's going to be the same thing when the Yidden will go out of this Gullus. That the Goyim are going to help the Yidden out of Gullus. They're going to help the Yidden leave the Gullus and even give us gifts. And do you know? We see it already happening in our days. For so many years, the Yidden have been locked up in Russia. Thousands and thousands of Yidden were locked in Russia and were not allowed to leave Russia. They were within a gullus in gullus time. And then suddenly, Hashem caused a great miracle that the gates of Russia opened. And the Yidden are not only allowed to leave, but the Russians even help them leave. They give them planes, and they give them other kinds of help in order to bring them to Eretz Yisrael. Yes, that's just like the time of going out of Golos Mitzrayim, when the Yidden were helped by the Mitzrayim to leave Mitzrayim. The same thing, it says, will happen when Mashiach is going to come, that the Yidden will be helped by the Goyim to go out of Golos. What we are seeing in our days is just the beginning. And as our Chachamim tell us, that on Erev Shabbos, it is a mitzvah to taste from all the delicious foods that we have prepared for Shabbos. Yes, just to take a taste of it. And later on Shabbos, we enjoy the Seudais with the delicious foods. The same thing in the Lach. It says that when Mashiach is going to come, it's going to be like one long, big Shabbos day. Just like on Shabbos, we can spend so much more time to learn and daven, because there is no work to do. The same thing, when the Mashiach is going to come, we're going to be able to spend much more time learning Torah and davening and doing mitzvahs. There's not going to be any more hunger, and there's not going to be any more wars, no fighting. There won't be any more Yetzirah. That's right. Hashem is going to take away the Yetzirah from us. And we're all going to want to do good. And the whole world will be filled up with goodness and holiness of Hashem. And so the same thing now, we're getting a little taste of it, right before the Geula. Right before we go out of Golus, Hashem is now already giving us a taste of all the good things that we're going to have when Mashiach comes. And that's why the Yidden are starting to leave different countries where they weren't able to leave before. Now they're able to come to Eretz Yisrael. And many other good things that are happening in these days. People are stopping to make wars. People are putting away their ammunition. They want to use it for good things. This is all because we are preparing for the arrival of Mashiach, who's going to take us all out of Galus and rebuild the third Beis HaMikdash speedily in our days. Amen.